Welcome back to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk, sponsored by Wink Hartman and the Hartman Group of Companies. Well, did you miss a part of last week's show? If you did, you know, shame on you. Spank yourself. Actually, that's pretty dirty there. We post clips of all shows. We also post single hours, post the entire show as one audio file. There's lots to choose from. Just download the Always Live free Odyssey app to get started. And while you're at it, make sure you like and follow the John Whitmer Show Facebook page and follow us on X at John R. Whitmer to get all the latest updates on the show. With us now to analyze this week's first presidential debate between Joe Biden and Donald Trump is Jim Paff. He is president of the Conservative Caucus. Jim's political career stretches over three decades. He served as a chief of staff in Washington, D.C. in Congress. He's also been a communications, grassroots, and political consultant during that time. Through his company, he provided consulting in public policy and public relations, business research, media strategies, and on-the-go consulting for political campaigns and grassroots organizations. Jim, thank you for joining us this evening. It's a pleasure to have you on the show, my friend.
Hey, glad to be on. And you failed to mention the one interesting chief of staff job I had with Kansans, as I was Tim Heelskamp.
Tim Heelskamp, that's right. I forgot about that. Yeah. That's right. Yeah. We loved Tim Heelskamp in Kansas. He was a very good congressman out in the Big First. That's right. I forgot about that. So, Jim, elections aren't won in transcripts, clearly, or Joe Biden would have won this one. And I played some clips in our first hour. But the reality is, fairly or not, debates are often about optics. I famously remember that, you know, for those who are old enough will remember, you know, Nixon's debates and how bad he looked. But how the candidates present themselves, defend their records, and parry attacks, often it's based on the optics. Thursday's debate was pretty bad optically for Joe Biden. There's just no other way to look at it.
Yeah. No, that's right. And he's really wounded himself badly. I'm not concerned for him because I'd really like Donald Trump to win. I'm going to be standing for him throughout this year and have since he got the nomination in 2016. We need a change in this country. Joe Biden is showing us one of the reasons why we're in such a bad shape right now. I mean, we got a guy who can't even steer the ship of state.
Right.
He's incapable of that. People have known this. And by the way, there are many of us who have known this for a long time. It's not like it's surprise news, but what's really interesting is that the media's hype and lying and standing up for Joe Biden was put on center stage, and the American people know better now, after two nights ago, what a farce the national media is. So there were a lot of lessons learned, and Biden's got a lot of catching up to do. He's put himself behind an eight ball here.
Yeah, I think back to the Wizard of Oz. The curtain has been drawn away, that's for sure. The Biden campaign said the president had a cold. That was their excuse to explain why he sounded so hoarse and weak. But, I mean, he stumbled right from the beginning. It played into his biggest vulnerability. Is anyone buying this, Jim? I mean, is anybody buying the cold story? Is anybody says? I mean, I saw somebody else who made a statement that he overworked, he overprepared. I mean, is anybody buying this malarkey?
Well, as you can hear in my voice, I've had a little bit of a cold myself,
right?
And I'm able to. That's what people saw: is a guy who couldn't think. Anyone can accept the fact that someone could have a hoarse voice because they had a cold. If you can't think, if you can't put sentences together, if you say that we defeated Medicare and no one knows what that means, then you've got a mental problem. You do not have a physical problem.
Right.
And in terms of a cold. So, no one's buying that. Everyone knows the guy's mentally impaired in some form or fashion. No one knows precisely, but it sure looks like dementia to a lot of us.
So Democrats have to be wondering then at this point if they'd be better off with someone else as their nominee. Do you think there's any chance they will actually try to replace Joe Biden on the ticket? And if so, with who?
Well, there's certainly been a lot of discussion about that, and obviously it's kind of popped up in the media. There is technically, it's a very difficult hurdle to try to make this replacement. And David Axelrod, actually, I posted a video of him on CNN right after the debate. He said it very clearly. You know, this isn't the 1960s where you can go into a convention and you can have some backroom deals and then they choose someone different. That's long gone. The voters in the primaries choose the candidates.
Right.
Every primary along the way chose Joe Biden. The only way for Joe Biden to get replaced is if he resigns. And as David Axelrod rightly said, and I agree with him, there's no way he's going to resign. He's got an arrogant attitude about him. He's convinced of his capabilities, and he doesn't even have enough shame to see that this was such a bad debate and think that he might back off. And you can just tell that from that night later on afterwards, as well as their North Carolina
speech.
Soiree.
Yeah.
He, there's no way he's getting off the ticket. 5% chance at best.
We're talking with Jim Paff, president of the Conservative Caucus. You know, Jim, the other thing I notice here is, and someone asked me this question over the weekend, and I put it this way. I think if Joe Biden were to step aside, and I agree with you. I think there's zero chance he does it, and I think it's in part because of Jill Biden. But if he does so, it's because he's admitting he's infirmed. He's admitting that he is mentally deficient. And that immediately tarnishes his entire career. It tarnishes his 50-plus years in government, and it'll be the one thing he's now known for. And I don't think him or his wife want that to be his legacy. I think they would rather go down as losing than go down as the guy who was forced to step down because he's mentally infirmed. Do you think I'm right?
No, I think you're right, but there's even more at stake than just that. If he determines he's mentally infirm enough,
then he can't serve.
Back out of this,
yeah.
Then the 25th Amendment comes into
exactly.
Play.
Yeah, like if you're not fit to run, you're not fit to serve.
And also, he has got staffers all around him I worked in D.C. for every bit of 8 years, seen it from the inside. These staffers have a lot of power, cabinet members included. And they don't want to give any of that up. They're right. All like, no, stay in there because we don't mind if he's, you know, kind of halfway able to do things. We're still going to be able to do the things we are. And they feel like they have the power and have been asserting it in ways very harmful to the American people, but advancing their goals politically in the Democrat Party. They want to continue that. Joe Biden's the guy. And of course, lingering in the background is Barack Obama, many of whose presidential administration staffers are working in and around the White House. And there have been constant stories of Biden staffers heading to Calamara, Washington, D.C., where Obama has his home, and visiting there. I'm not saying that he's the shadow president necessarily, but he's been influential.
Right.
He doesn't want to give that up either, which is why he's supporting him right now.
Well, and, you know, one thing people are forgetting, there's 7 months. Let's say Joe Biden loses, or either way, no matter what happens with this election, there's 7 months left in this term. And if he were to withdraw, immediately there would be people who would say, if you're unfit to serve or to run, you're unfit to serve. And now immediately that brings into question the next 7 months of this current administration. Does Kamala Harris come in? You're right. You brought up the 25th Amendment. I just think that in and of itself is reason why he won't withdraw. And of course, then you also have Kamala Harris, who isn't going to give up her chance at being the next president. I mean, I don't see either of them being willing to step aside out of this thing. Now, the question then is it too early to say how voters will respond to this debate and whether or not do you think there'll be a second debate?
Well, the short-term polls look really bad for Joe Biden. But I think that, and I don't think Donald Trump will just kind of say, okay, it's over with now, I can just coast on in. And I don't think he can, because Joe Biden won from his basement in 2020.
That's right.
Now, the difference is that Donald Trump was owning the economy, whether he deserved it or not, and he didn't deserve it. But he was owning that short-term economic problem, and voters react to that, low-information voters or voters that I don't care who the guy is. I just want something changed. But now Joe Biden owns the economy this time, and it's bad. And frankly, it's almost as bad as that economy was, and for different reasons in different ways. So he's got that negative on him. But if they keep him out of debates and they keep him in scripted situations that can create viral moments, they can recapture some things, make him look like the comeback kid, and then Trump's, you know, got some challenges ahead of him. Now, I think Trump will make it through that. And I do believe this sets up, I mean, it's still a Biden-Trump thing. 5% chance it's not. It's Trump-Biden. So Trump's got a challenge on his head, but I think he's up to it. And I think he's going to make it through that. And certainly my organization will be doing a lot to try to make sure that happens.
You mentioned your organization. You're president of the Conservative Caucus. Can you tell us a little bit about it?
Well, the Conservative Caucus was founded in 1974 by a guy named Howard Phillips. Those who've been around politics for some time remember Howard Phillips. In the early 2000s, he ran on the Constitution Party as a president. You know, it wasn't a highly successful thing. He did have a very highly successful conservative grassroots organization. We, at our peak, were organized in more than 230 congressional districts in all 50 states. We're organized right now, and he passed away in 2013. I'm here in a rebuilding, and we're growing phenomenally right now. We're in 38 states. We'll very quickly be in 50 and many congressional districts. Our goal is to get people engaged at the local level and in federal elections, getting involved and getting people registered to vote and active in congressional districts, so that we can get a new breed of legislators coming to Washington, D.C., and certainly going into their state capitals as well. We'll build these large grassroots teams. We're doing a whole lot more. We're doing Trump independent expenditure spending. We're going to be spending right now hundreds of thousands, if not more. And, of course, if anyone out there wants to write big checks, come, or any checks at all, come along. We're going to get the message out for Donald Trump. So we'll be doing that as well. And then we're going to be training grassroots people on how to do regular grassroots on an ongoing basis. Similar, by the way, to what I did when Tim Heelskamp and I first became friends, and he hired me to consult on the 2005 marriage amendment effort in Kansas.
Right.
Now, it was going to pass, but what we did is more than double statewide turnout. We just went out and taught people how to make it happen, how to get things active, and it became a huge result in an off-off year. We want to reduplicate that sort of thing all over the country through the Conservative Caucus and our efforts.
Well, if folks are interested, if they want to donate, if they want to get involved, they can find you guys at theconservativecaucus.org, correct?
That's correct. Theconservativecaucus.org.
Jim, I appreciate you, my friend. Thank you for coming on, and carry on the fight, brother.
Thanks, John. Great to be with you again.
Likewise. We'll take a quick break, and then I want to hear from you. Our studio lines are open. What did you think of Thursday's debate? You're listening to The John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk. We'll be back right after this.